Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Did the Bills draft a linebacker? They didn't, right? Just looking at the bet board right over there. I don't know what you can see, but in this space, there is a very old dry erase board with all the bets we've made in here with each other over the years. And the one on the top, because the previous one on the top was the Milroe bet that for Bulldog was ill-fated. He's on a plane today. What will the Bills draft earlier? Sneaky Joe said running back. Jeremy said linebacker. They did neither. That is a push. That is one of the rare pushes in the history of the bet board. I'm not sure there's ever been one. Some of these bets last for many years. Right under it is my bet with Sneaky Joe that Ryan Tannehill starts and wins a Super Bowl someday at 20-1. What happened to that guy? Not Joe. What happened to Ryan Tannehill? He just decided to not play anymore and not tell anybody? Like, for all the quarterback needy teams, never to him, I guess. I missed the days of hearing everybody mention how he played wide receiver in college. I miss Ryan Tannehill. But see, that one is still up there. There's going to be resolution on that. We'll get to the Bills. Horse racing is on in here. Sam Panayotovich coming up at 3:30. DK Horse, the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's fine, right? The Derby, it's fine. It's either, at worst, it's fine. At the most, it's amazing, and you live for it, and you dress up and drink mint juleps and bet everything. At the minimum, it's a nice, you know, a party. It's something to watch, something to put on. It's, you know, it's special. It's important. The Kentucky Derby, like that's the floor for the Kentucky Derby. I have it on in whatever today is, the day before the Derby, the Oaks, whatever it is. Like, I've got that on in here. It's kind of cool to look at. I just learned that Post 17 has never won. And that's the one, I believe, the one slot that has been used regularly all these years. It's like 90-some years and has never won. And the second favorite in the race tomorrow is in Post 17, Sandman, which, by the way, is one word. Because yesterday we had the thing about how a one word named horse is like a big favorite to win. One of the single name horses, Rodriguez, was scratched, so maybe that's different now. Sam will know. Also, the horse, don't know the name or the year. The horse to have run the fastest quarter mile in the history of the Kentucky Derby finished last out of 20 horses in his race, or hers. Fastest quarter mile in Derby history. Probably, what, like right out of the gate? And just like, I'm done. 20th out of 20. Okay. Well, I've got four guests today in Bulldog's absence. Sam Paniatovich, who I mentioned. Sal will join me. Tyler Dunn will join me. And as we get closer to the Bandits game tonight, great to have Dave Buchanan stop by and give us a preview. It has been Brandon Bean week. We've talked so much about him. He's talked a lot about us. He's talked a lot to a lot of people. Like I don't know. I get the sense, I've gotten the sense this week, because the thing happened in here on Monday morning, and then he was on Monday afternoon, and then he was on the next day, and then he was on McAfee, and he was like, oh, he's doing, then it's Tyler Dunn for an hour, and Tyler's like, time to go. He's like, no, let's keep going. Tyler will give us that story later. This is not a criticism. I actually personally appreciate it. He seems to want himself out there. And I don't know if you think that's a change. I mean, it's been quite a lot here this week. And I don't know, do you think about this? Like maybe this offseason or just in general? Like Bean has never been to me somebody who is unwilling. You know, we've never, like with Terry Pegula, it's like, where'd he go? He's had however many press conferences over the year, but half of them seem to like be a disaster. Not including the one where he promised Stanley Cups for the Sabres and talked about how it wouldn't be about money anymore, and holy cow. So, you know, with Terry, it's like, where'd he go? With Bean has never been invisible or anything close to that. And, you know, Kevin Adams, too. At least they're out there. They'll take your questions. And I like both of these guys for that. But has Bean ramped it up here lately? I wonder. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe that's just sort of a misperception on my part, maybe based on the fact that we've been talking about him all week. But here's a possible theory, and it ties with what he was saying on Monday and just how like brazen he was about it, or even obnoxious he was about it. And that I wonder if Bean, 8 years in with this team and a lot of winning, and the agonizingly close playoff losses that have capped their seasons, I wonder if he's sort of like ready to either up his profile or just kind of put his neck out a little bit more. I wouldn't want to say with any sort of mind toward a new, you know, opportunity somewhere else or anything like that. That's just a needless wild guess. But it does seem to me to be something, how not only how much he's talking this year, but what Monday was, which was, I am not worried about your reaction to me. And that is a powerful thing in life. If you can get to a point where, like, you know, and it can come off badly, and I think his appearance on Monday did, but what I think is kind of refreshing about it in sports, for an executive in sports or a coach or even a player, to just kind of give you the sense that he's not worried about what happens next. He's not worried about what you think. And man, I mean, for a radio host, that is gold. Like that's what you want every time. But, you know, he's had winning teams, and as Bulldog says too, like he's had a very smooth ride here. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I will not listen to any sort of idea that he's had it tough. Remember when Tyrod Taylor, either after he left the Bills or toward the end of his career with the Bills at a Super Bowl one time, talked about how hard the media was, and I just could not believe it. I could not believe it. Who was Tyrod Taylor? Like, he was an okay quarterback that had never had a chance to start before in the league, and, you know, I think it's pretty easy for players and coaches, if they aren't sort of, like, smart, I want to say, quote, smart about it, I think it'd be pretty easy for them to get really, like, bothered, because any criticism you hear is the thing you remember. That's what sticks to you. And the compliments bounce off. But it's the criticism that you take home and you think about. And, you know, that can be a bad thing. It can be a problem. I mean, I think there's a pretty tough needle to thread with this. And I don't know. Everybody's different. I have some experience with this, you know, being that I'm in a position where I get criticized, I get feedback. And it's, you know, a personal thing, like how you deal with it. I remember with Darcy Regier all those years, how what Darcy would say, and I don't know, maybe he was being honest. I never knew him that well either. What he would say was how he wouldn't listen to it, wouldn't listen to us, wouldn't listen to fans. And, you know, I think that's probably a combination of two things. If it's true, it's that you know that it can bother you. And you don't want that in your life. If you can avoid it, if you can avoid it, then you don't want it. Then, you know, just, I can't. But I did always say with him, and I would say with anybody, I think it's important though, to know what the fans are saying, or even the media. I mean, the media is how many people and it's all kinds of different opinions. But I think I would want, if I were Brandon Bean or Regier at those, you know, in those years, Adams, I'd want to know what is being said about me, but I'd have to put a limit on it. Like maybe I'd have somebody do that for me and not just turn the station on when I drove home or anything like that. I don't know. It's all kind of beside the point. The point is that Bean is like right now, he sounds like he's up for it. He wants to do battle. And, you know, there's a few things you might consider if there's a general accuracy to that. Like, is he trying to put his own stamp on it that hasn't been sort of afforded to him, or he's not gotten really credit for, in his mind, enough of what's happened? Is there, like, are Bean and McDermott maybe in different places, and this would be one person's way of sort of, I don't know, announcing that in a certain indirect way? I'm doing this, and I think your criticism of it is ridiculous. Here is why I'm doing it. And, you know, defiant, right out there, not afraid of the consequences. I think, you know, I just wonder. I don't know. I just wonder if he's at a place where he wants to sort of get more in the spotlight, maybe, than he's been. Which, again, like, I don't think that's bad. I think the story for a lot of this week has been what he said Monday morning. Here we are on Friday evening. What he said on Monday morning and how he did it. And that really took everybody aback. Even if he talks Monday morning and all these other times in the usual way. Yeah, you know, we looked at wide receiver. We thought about it. We always do. We always want to do anything that's we think in our best interest. But this, and this led us to defense, so that's what we did. You know, an easy response to a question that nobody would even care about. Nobody would talk about. Like that. That's the kind of thing where you don't even need to say it, because that's clearly what, you know, it's what happened. And we would assume the rest of what you said. You know, instead he got sideways. But anyway, what they did was the same. And what they did was, as he explained there and with Tyler and probably everywhere else, is this is where I think we needed the most help. And I think almost everybody would agree with it.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
The question isn't whether they needed more help on defense. The question is whether that help is sort of valuable, so to speak, on the same level as like an alpha receiver would be, or, you know, maybe not alpha even available in this draft. But that's the debate more than it is whether their defense really, like, nobody thought, I think nobody would say that they didn't need the help. So, fine. And so that's where he put his chips. And when he talked about it, other than the one time Monday morning when it just turned into something else, when he talked about it, it was reasonable. What he said to Tyler Dunn at one point, I'm going to read it. GoLongTD.com. Tyler will be on with me later. I'll go back to what I said. This is a quote. I'll go back to what I said. I had no issue with the wide receiver question all year. But after the season, and I added Josh Palmer, I thought everybody should have moved on from wide receiver. Let's get after Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. If you want to break down where our road has come to an end, we haven't gotten those quarterbacks on the ground. This, I think, might be interesting. So I'm in the sacks or a quarterback stat camp. I think that that's been generally proven. It's not just sacks that work here. It's pressure. It's disrupting the pocket. It's all the kind of things that don't have to be sacks to be, you know, good. I looked up times sacked, quarterbacks sacked since the 2018 playoffs, just in the playoffs. So 7 years. The three quarterbacks he mentioned are the three most sacked quarterbacks in the playoffs since 2018. I just picked 18 because Mahomes was in the playoffs then, and so was Lamar, and Allen was about to be. I just picked, that's arbitrary, but I just picked 18. Mahomes has been sacked 17 times more than any other quarterback in the playoffs since then. Now, of course, they've played the most games. It's 21 games. And it's 46 sacks. So what is that? Like 2.2 sacks per game. Allen, who is fourth, and he's played 13, which I think is the second most. I know it is. Playoff games in these last 7 years. Actually, you know who third is? Most playoff starts in the NFL the last 7 years. Mahomes one, Allen two. Brady is three. With 11 games. Anyway. Allen has been sacked 28 times in those 13 games, almost identical to the rate of Mahomes. Allen isn't the point. The point is being mentioned three names, Mahomes, Burrow, and Jackson. Now, they haven't lost to Baltimore in the playoffs. Jackson is like 3.5 sacks per game. He's different. Mahomes is, or rather Burrow is over four. Seven games, 29 sacks. Allen again, 28 in 13 games. Burrow has been sacked more often in the playoffs than Allen, despite playing six fewer games. I don't know how many times the Bills sacked Burrow in that game. I didn't look that up. Could it have been many? I didn't look that up. Somewhere along the way, Joe Burrow's been sacked 29 times in seven playoff games. He kind of has that reputation. Mahomes, 46. So here we go. The Chiefs have played 21 playoff games with him. Four against Buffalo. In the other 17, he's been sacked 41 times for 267 yards. 2.4 sacks per game for 15 yards. So 6 to 7 yards per sack. Like, those are real sacks. Sometimes a guy runs out of bounds for zero. That's a sack. Burrow, Mahomes, 2.4 sacks per game in the playoffs against teams other than the Bills for 15 yards per game. Against the Bills in four games, in the playoffs only, he's been sacked five times for 20 yards. Total. So that's an average of 1.25 sacks per game for 5 yards. The Bills have done 5 sack yards of damage against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs ever. Per game. 4 games, 20 yards. So, like, kind of the... I don't even think this was really up for debate so much. I wanted to know the disparity, and I got what I wanted. Like, the Bills have not, gotten him to the ground. And I think we knew that. But really, what it maybe illustrates is the worthiness... No, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. The worthiness of Bean's strategy and his point about getting those players to the ground, ultimately, if they play them again, and I think this is like sort of the last call for the Bills, for Bean's sake and maybe McDermott's, to be able to actually do it if they do play them again. That's also debatable whether it will be. But it's whether or not they can actually achieve that, whether it's Mahomes or someone else. Can they get what they want from this draft, which is to put these elite quarterbacks that are beating them on the ground in the playoffs? And then, you know, if you want to just get your head going, spinning, you know, forever, then you compare whatever the value of that might be with the wide receiver stuff. And that's where we get into trouble because, again, this week it's not been about whether the Bills like have put enough pressure on these quarterbacks in the playoffs. Like, nobody thinks they have. Nobody disagrees with Brandon Bean on that. It's always about what that is versus other needs or, you know, supposed needs. And then when it comes to the draft, well, what does the draft give you? And again, I think nobody really is arguing with Bean too much that this draft was going to give you defense, and it did. And the Bills scooped it up. Patrick Mahomes, 46 postseason games. Nope, 21. Why do I keep looking at the wrong column? 21. Oh, it's because it seems like 46. 21 postseason games, 46 sacks. 4 of those games against Buffalo, only 5 of those sacks for a total of 20 yards. I mean, come on. You didn't know this already? You did. You didn't need the numbers on this one. It hasn't happened. And so this bet is, and Bean is right out there, like, explaining it and telling you it's not subtle. It's not guesswork. This is what we want from this draft, and this is what we need. And so now it just becomes, will they get it? And we can't even begin to answer that. Well, begin. We can't know the answer until at least January. That's the regular season is just going to kind of be there. Again, this is a year where the regular season can only be a disappointment. Because, like, they're supposed to make it. They're supposed to win the AFC East again. If they don't, it'll be kind of maybe shocking. So that's a tough one because you really can't score points. You know, you can't really impress in the regular season when you're the Bills these days. It's only about the playoffs, and I guess that's the playoffs are sort of the other way around. When you can't really, I don't want to say you can't do worse, but your thing has become rolling through the division. And then when you step up against Kansas City or the one time Cincinnati, it's really the Chiefs, you get beat. It's been a lot of talk. It's been interesting, mostly this week. Maybe we went pretty far on it, and I'm not here by any of this trying to start another conversation up. I just thought this is what he's really saying, and the style with which he spoke on Monday isn't maybe the most important takeaway. It's what did they actually do? He spelled it out, and now it's just about whether or not, if they face Kansas City in the playoffs again, will they actually, like, Philadelphia sacked him 6 times. Are we looking at that? Or are we looking for at 1 for 5 yards again? That's because that's been the Bills' playoff history when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Not to mention the lack of takeaways and just how he's basically done whatever he wanted in those games. Today, Sam Panayotovic, Bet Sweats, talking NFL, the Derby, the playoffs. Sal Capaccio at 4. Tyler Dunn joins me at 5. Dave Buchanan will be between the benches tonight for the Bandits game against Vancouver, will join me at 5:30. Thanks for listening. Sammy P is next. Bulldog is off through Monday. This is Mike Shope on WGR.